Our scripture today is from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. It's one that we turn to very often when we want to try to emphasize the women of our faith. And, of course, Mother's Day is a great day to emphasize the women of the faith. The whole of the 31st chapter is very good, but I've restricted it to these verses to read. And then, of course, during the sermon, I'm going to read all the rest. No, I'm not going to read all the rest of them, but I'm going to get to some of them. So Proverbs 31:26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This is the praise. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. The writer, or I should say perhaps the collector, of the great book of the Proverbs brings this tremendous book to a close with a classic description of a great woman who is also a good wife and mother. Now, mind you, not every great woman ends up being a wife and or a wife and mother. And sometimes on these annual Mother's Day, we focus so much on motherhood that we unfortunately and pretty much thoughtlessly sometimes neglect the many women among us whose lives are very complete and very important to all of us as wonderful women among us, contributing in their own ways to all of what we're privileged to enjoy in life. And of course, every one of us here, as I have said before, we all have a mother, some of whom are still under 60 and thus very young. Some of our mothers are older. Some of them are already waiting for us in heaven. But we all have a mother. And so we all love to celebrate our mothers on Mother's Day. That said, these words that we've just read from our text for this morning appear to have come from the mother of a king as she gave him guidelines concerning his own wife. See, the first two verses of Proverbs 31 read like this. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. And then we begin to hear her. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. And she proceeds from there to advise him as to how to understand and regard a woman, and in particular, perhaps, his wife and the mother of his children. And three very important things that I want you to notice in those verses that I just read. One, this is advice from Lemuel's mother. Two, and that's true for all the way down through this proverb. Two, the verse itself says this is inspired. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance of his mother. In other words, it's God-given. And three, historically, we have no idea who this King Lemuel was. Nobody knows. But you see, he's not the one that is important here. It's his mother's uttered, inspired sayings to him that is the important thing. And that takes us to verse 10. And verse 10 and following, these are verses that say, Mom has special advice to you, Lemuel, and to all of us. She's also saying about the values of a good wife and mother. verse 10, where the king begins to repeat what his mother taught him about a wife of noble characters. It says she is worth far more than rubies. And that value is repeated again in verse 28, where he declares that she is worth, well, she's worthy of the praise of both children and husbands. In verse 29, where he appears to be addressing this to his own wife and to the mother of his children. And so on Mother's Day, it would be easy for us to become sentimental. Sentimental as we think about our mothers, but I think perhaps it would be much more profitable for us to steer our thoughts this morning toward scriptural ideas that could help mothers to be and to grow as godly mothers. And I don't want anyone here, especially any of you wonderful women here now, anyone to be offended or to misunderstand what I'm saying, but this. It is in no way at all the greatest feat of a woman to give birth to a baby. That's not her greatest feat. Maybe it's one of the greatest physical feats, but there are greater things that women do. Well, that said, it is Mother's Day, and we are going to talk about a woman who has given birth to children. We're going to talk about a mother. And this great feat deserves our praise this morning. And it comes as a mother becomes a good mother, providing her children with guidance and encouragement and leading them toward maturity and toward independence. The great woman, the good mother, begins to become a good mother when she makes these contributions, and I'm going to name six. There are many more. But these great contributions to her husband and to her children after she's given birth to a baby. After she's done that, then there's just so much more. She's described as trustworthy. Proverbs 31:11 says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. You see, the good mother is one whose character is such that all of her family, all of them feel she can be reliable and responsible and just depended on. Her husband can put confidence in her, and her children know her from the very beginning of their awareness to be a good, dependable mommy. She's described as benevolent. Proverbs 31:12, it says she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A marriage is seen as a partnership in which each spouse seeks to make positive daily input toward the well-being of his or her companion and children. And the good mother contributes to her husband and contributes to her children. She knows how to spell the word love with the letters G-I-V-E and H-E-L-P. She's described as industrious. We're down to verse 31 now. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise. See, it's significant that in the pre-Christian era, perhaps contrary to some preconceived notions, the great woman and the good mother is described as one who has not completely confined herself to her household. If we were to go back, if you had your Bible open, you'd look at verse 16. It says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable, that she goes on the New York Stock Exchange. No, it doesn't say that there. It says that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 24 says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. You see, she's very industrious. She's described as one whose work continues from sun up to sundown, verse 27. I happen to know that mothers and wives in this day and age don't stop their work because we have the era of artificial lighting. Sundown doesn't stop our mothers, our women these days. She's described as having a good self-image. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. And this is more of a major factor than many people would imagine. That is, if you were not a wife and mother, you might know this if you're a wife and mother, that having a good self-image is pretty important. Modern psychology emphasizes the fact that to be happy in life, we have to have a good self-image. In his book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, Dr. James Dobson relates his findings on the basis of having had many seminars, many questionnaires filled out, a lot of personal counseling, and he says that low self-esteem was indicated as the most troubling problem by the majority of women in the modern world. And he declares that many factors combine to give the modern mother a low evaluation of her role. And this contributes to an attitude of low self-esteem. And so to overcome this problem, the modern mother might need to just sit down and start a list of all the things that she does, and everything that's expected of her every day. And then she needs to realistically evaluate herself, looking at that list, and then maybe she should give that list to her husband and to her children, who may need to be a significant group that get together and recognize and appreciate who she is for them every hour of every day, valued by the children, valued especially by the husband. That'll do a whole lot to do away with this problem of self-image. She's described as being compassionate. Compassionate toward her husband. Compassionate toward her children and to those outside the family circle. Verse 20, Proverbs 31:20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She makes constructive use of her tongue. Verse 26 says she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Well, I have to tell you, the whole book of Proverbs has a whole lot to say about the use of the tongue. Too much for me to start quoting them now, but I encourage you, maybe take some time and look up in the book of Proverbs all of what it has to say about the tongue. Then go to the book of James and see what that says about the tongue. Well, a good mother is one who uses her tongue. She's a cheerleader to encourage her children. She's one who says loving encouragements to her husband. Well, I gave you six. There are a whole lot more. These are ones that are right there in Proverbs 31. Well, with those great images of the Proverbs mother and wife, is there any other help to help mothers to be better mothers? Well, I think the wife must begin by helping herself to be a good mother. Here's some possible considerations for any woman to think about. She is to consider herself and make certain that she is the good gift of God, the good gift God has given to her husband. Another proverb, Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Gift from God. In other words, a favor is a gift from God. And the gifts of God are what? Always good. They are. Yes, they are. God wants to help a wife to be one of his best gifts to his husband, to her husband. One of the best gifts to her children. And only she can make certain that she is. In reality, She needs to know that she is God's good gift to her husband. Likewise, she needs to be, as I've said, the real gift of God to her children. Children need somebody who is much more than just a biological source for their origin. And that someone needs to be the person that they call mother. For a mother to see herself, to treat herself other than as a gift of God to her children, to consider her children as any less than God's gift to her, is to open a very possible door to very great harm to the emotional well-being of her children. Every child deserves the right to be wanted, to be accepted, to be appreciated by his or her parents. Well, then, and that's what a woman can begin to do. But beyond a woman helping herself to see herself as God's good gift to her husband and children, the husband has much to contribute toward helping his wife become a good and great mother. Well, he starts by accepting his wife as a precious gift from God. He chose her to be his wife, to be his companion and the mother of his children. Hopefully, all the time doing that, seeking God's guidance in those choices. So then, she needs his help. She needs his support, his encouragement. She needs his partnership. He is to accept her and to treat her as the gift of God to his heart and to his life. And scriptural guidance for the husband is that he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, so sacrificially that Christ was willing to give himself for his bride, the church, to give himself on the cross. That's Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. And you know, while it's romantic love that often draws a man and a woman together and then leads on to marriage, there must be sacrificial, that is, self-giving spouses' love toward each other if they are both to be the good parents to their children, to be the good partner that is needed and deserved in a marriage. And husbands, let me just kind of speak to you just here for a minute here. Love your wife as you love your own body. That's scriptural too. That's found in Ephesians 5, 28 through 33. And that goes all the way back to Genesis, the second chapter, verse 24. You see, the biblical concept of marriage from the very first couple of chapters of the very first book of the Bible is one of a one-flesh relationship. Husband and wife are seen as a union of two personalities into one. And Paul declares that no man has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it. So if part of your flesh is your wife, you nourish him, you cherish him. Even so, you know, men who do that, for their wife, for the mother of their children, are rewarded by God. So men, we are to be grateful for our wife. Verse 28 of Proverbs 31. Again, as an observation from James Dobson, we have a healthy and wholesome opinion of ourselves when we see respect in the eyes of others, when we see words of appreciation from their lips, when we hear that. And so we can give that to the mother that we have, the wife that we have. Modern wives and women who live in today's world are in desperate need of this contribution toward their well-being from all of us, but especially from the husband. And then another contribution, husbands, pray for your wives. She needs your help. She needs the Lord's help. Lift her up before God's throne of grace and ask him to help her with all of her problems, to help her with all of her needs. We know prayer works. Pray for her. And then children have much to contribute toward helping their mother become a good and great mother. And may I emphasize, they have this possibility that they can do this for all of their life. You don't get too old to be helping your mother. So today and from now on, no matter what your age is, be thoughtful towards your mother if she's still with you. I know you have been. You are. You will be. I know. Just keep on being. And it may sound sort of like these words are tongue-in-cheek, but you all know that this all applies to your relationships with your mother all throughout your life. Do not be unkind to her. Do not take her for granted. Become someone that your mother can be proud of and can be grateful for. Guard against conducting yourselves in any kind of manner that would embarrass your mother. Be grateful for your mother. I don't care whether you're 50 years old and your mother is 61, you know, or whatever. Be grateful for her. Keep on being grateful for her. Don't hesitate to express appreciation and praise to your mother all the time for all the many things that she has done and that she continues to do to make your life meaningful and purposeful. And be helpful to your mother. She has so many responsibilities. She has so many duties, and you can be helpful to her by doing all you can, get this now, to take care of yourself and to take care of your own things. That'll take a little burden off her. So, with all of that, here's, I think, the best conclusion that I think I can come to. God wants to help good and great mothers to be even better mothers. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of us all. And today, we observe in our celebrations today to be Savior of mothers. Because great mothers are sinners like the rest of us. So be helpful, be thankful, and pray. And so how should we close? Well, we say, thank you, God, for our wonderful mothers. You who are here today, our mothers everywhere, among us and beyond us. Thank you, God.